Now let's see what are the recommendations from IMF. Okay, now the recommendations from IMF to accommodate a post-pandemic tourism rebound. IMF recommends that the government continue a trend of relaxing visa requirements, draw visitors away from urban centers to less populated regions of the country, and complement a tourism comeback with improvements to labor resources and tourism infrastructure. Now, these were some recommendations. Some of the recommendations definitely proved to be beneficial for reviving tourism. Now, relaxing visa requirements, yes, that was one of the policy decisions which many nations took place. But please note, there were other restrictions which were taking place, like what kind of test, what kind of vaccinations, what is the period of quarantine, whether there is a period of a paid quarantine or isolation, etc. So this was there. Draw visitors away from urban centers worked majorly. So this worked in two ways. Why? Because urban centers or typical destinations, which are usually overcrowded by tourists, we didn't want to pressurize them. We didn't want a lot of number of tourists to visit those areas. So what we did was, we tried to promote those destinations or those tourist destinations which could be attractive for the tourists, but which are offbeat, all right, which are centers which are not that crowded. This worked very fine. Why? Because travelers were experiencing something new, okay, something which was not heard of, something which were offbeat. Travelers were happy doing that, and more importantly, it was safer, comparatively safer, to travel to destinations which are away from the urban centers or away from the crowd. So it was also safer like that. The other recommendations that IMF did was with relation to the labor resources. So this was an era when we all must be aware of the fact that there were massive layoffs which happened in relation to travel and tourism industry. It can be airlines which were laying off, it can be travel agencies which were laying off. So all of them, where where massive numbers of laborers were involved, they were all laid off. Most of them were also, or for an extended period of time, not paid, but they were still working. All right, so what happened was, there were recommendations wherein improvement to labor resources was done, the policies were changed or made more favorable, or at least there was recommendation that the government should be coming up with such policy changes. Now, a report on future of the industry by WTTC says that the pandemic has shifted travelers' focus to domestic trips or nature or outdoor destinations. Now, this we have definitely experienced. Now, for example, let's take this picture that I want to travel, okay, after the lockdown, now everything is normal. I want to experience the normal life. So what do? I take a vacation. But rather than, going ahead, following those protocols, okay, I have thought about everything. The risk of travel, okay, there is a risk of whether I'm going to get refunds or not, if at all there is any change in the COVID-19 situation. All right. So what I would do is, I would rather take a domestic trip. I would rather be in and around my home place. So if at all there are any changes, I am able to cope up with that. All right. So as a traveler, okay, there are two aspects here. One thing is the safety. Second thing is the uncertainty of the situation. And third thing, that I might be on a budget. Okay, so I might not really would want to spend that kind of money as of now on international trips, which are not my necessity, which are just my wants. So I would rather focus on domestic trips. I would rather take road trips, which is the next future. I will talk about that later. Or nature and outdoor destinations. Now, why nature and outdoor destinations? Very frankly, we all were just, sitting inside, locked up inside our own homes. And what a person will require is definitely the open spaces, the nature, the outdoor destinations, which are relatively not confined. So for example, again, the safety comes up here. So if I have a choice of going in a museum and going to the beach, in the present scenario, I would rather select the beach than the museum, because there would be ventilations, there will be airborne particles. So all of this is going to make museums slightly more, more of a place wherein it's risky for me to go. Rather than that, I would rather take the beach. Now, hope for return of tourism. Now, we all know that there is leisure tourism and there is business tourism. We have a hope that leisure travel will come back. Okay, we do have hope. The numbers are showing great improvement. Now, what we want to be worried about is the business travel. Why? Obviously, we in this COVID era, what happened is that we mastered the skill of virtual work. We mastered the skill of remote working. So making it a bit less necessity for business travelers. If you remember, facts and figures clearly say that business travelers were the ones which brought maximum amount of revenue to tourism. Okay, there was massive percentage of business travelers involved in international travel rather than the leisure tourist. So business travelers were an important source of revenue for tourism industry, aviation industry. But this could change in the future. This is what we are predicting. Business travelers may not necessarily travel as much as they were traveling earlier. There are two aspects. Number one, the necessity is not there. Number two, there is a budget. And number three, there is a risk of infection. So these reasons, what they do is that the business travel is going down. Now, it may permanently shift. That would be very bad for us who are in business. But we have to make sure that we come back. Now, there is one more thing which I would like to point out here. Business travelers or companies who can actually afford, what they did was, and now I'm talking about premium business leaders or premium VIPs or CIPs, all right? They needed to travel. So what they did was they started chartering, or they started taking jet planes on a private charter rather than going on a scheduled flight, going on a business class or first class. So this was what they did. So this is also one more thing which can be a source of revenue for aviation industry. Now, let us talk about the airlines. When we talk about tourism, obviously aviation industry comes in it. It's the same parcel. Now, let us understand how the airline business got disturbed, okay? Airline business involves tourism as well as travel. So let's see, this was in 2019. This was the figures in 2019. Now, what happened post 2019? The picture is very bleak. Almost all of the countries showed negative, okay, negative, that is the decline in the GDP because of airline business was very, very evident. Now let's go in more detail as to what was the effect on aviation sector. Now when I say aviation sector, I'm talking about not just airline companies involved. We are also talking about the government holdings with respect to the airline. So for example, I'm talking about the airport facilities. I'm talking about every single entity which is involved in the actual civil aviation system. Now, aviation sector recorded an 80% decrease in flight movements. Believe me, 80% is massive. It's huge across all geographic regions. So we are talking about American continent, we are talking about European continent, we are talking about Asia, Pacific, Middle East. All of them showed massive decrease. Many flights from Hong Kong were cancelled. Now, this was in March 2020. Why we are focusing on Hong Kong? Because ideally, Hong Kong is a hub place with Cathay Pacific. Most of the international flights in and out of major economic zones, major tourism zones, go across or through Hong Kong, all right? So it showed many flights were canceled. Early March 2020 saw 10% of the flights canceled compared to 2019. As the pandemic progressed, there were 40-60% fewer flight movements were recorded in late March, with international flights affected the most. Now, overall, we are trying to understand how from 2019 to 2020-21 the progression happened. What happened is there was a steady decline in air traffic. There were steady cancellations of the flights which were already scheduled. Now, you might be aware that usually when we are talking about civil aviation, there is a strict schedule which is there, and the schedule is in advance. Now, nobody had obviously predicted this thing which happened in 2020. So there were many advance bookings which were done. The passengers had cancelled their flights. The airlines had to cancel the flights. So, this can be because of obviously COVID-19 and because of the government rules and regulation changing. And overall, what happened is there was a decrease in international travel, especially by air. Now, this did not only affect the passenger flights, but also affected air cargo. How? Now, let us understand, when a passenger flight was cancelled, okay, the cost of sending cargo changed rapidly. Changed meaning it went on a high rate. How does this happen? In a normal scenario, how the flight operates is that there are passengers, the cargo hold contains passengers' cargo, that is the passengers' bags and luggage, and then there is air cargo, the parcels which go from one place to another by air. The flights have a suitable business planning in such a way that each of the flight which goes have a balanced profit share, one part from the passengers, the other from the cargo holds. Now, when the passenger flights got cancelled or it were going empty, in order for air cargo to fly, there were specifically to be scheduled flights. What it means is the airlines had to come up with flights which were only cargo, which are known as freighters, okay, or fritters. So these are the aircraft which were flown only to carry air cargo. Naturally, the profit share was low. Now, in order to proceed ahead, obviously, what the airlines did was change the rates of air cargo. So, for example, earlier, when the airline was making a so-called profit on air cargo rate, because it was on the passenger flights, so the balance was achieved. Currently, since there were no passengers on the flights, the airlines had to put forth freighters or airlines which are only taking air cargo. In that case, obviously the rate was higher. So the second point says it all. Air freight rates rose as a consequence from 0.80 per kg for transatlantic cargoes to 2.50 per kg by enticing passenger airlines to operate cargo only flights through the use of freighters. So this was the effect on air cargo. Now let's see what was the effect on business aviation. Business aviation was less affected than airline traffic. In that, top executives, travel is often considered essential. Now, this comes to the point that I earlier spoke about, the VIPs and CIPs traveling. Okay, once lockdown restrictions are eased, business aviation has an opportunity to capture premium passengers who might previously have chosen airlines, but who may now prefer the social distancing, and that will be, you know, leading for them to proceed ahead and book a private jet plane. So we are talking about the premium class. Usually they might be traveling through a first class or a business class, but currently they will proceed ahead and put forth a booking for a charter flight. This was something which was a new trend, and it's a very positive new trend. So an airline will be making its profit now more on charter flights. Now let's see What are the estimated losses? Let me tell you, the picture is not very good. AITA estimates massive losses. Let me give you, let me walk you through how the estimation changes. Okay, so somewhere around March 2020, AITA estimated a loss of around $63 to $113 billion. Okay, that was the range which was estimated by AITA. This estimation, this prediction changed so rapidly that on 14th April, it was forecasted that the losses would be $314 billion. That's a massive change. And now what AITA understands is that the losses, or we won't be back to normal in case of revenues related to tourism, at least by 2023, and worst case scenario is 2025. So we are going to have a severe setback in the concept of travel, tourism, aviation. So the situation may be progressively better, but we cannot say that we have achieved the normalcy at least till 2025-2023. All right, so what are the actions? Now obviously we have the picture in front of us, we have the facts, the figures. Now obviously we need to work on those. There has to be some actions to mitigate the losses. Now everybody of us have come up with some action plans, whether it's airline, whether it's travel agencies, whether it is government, whether it is airport holding companies, or even the aircraft making companies, okay, even hotels and resorts. Everybody of us came up with an action plan. Let us first see what was airlines' immediate action plan and how did they plan to mitigate the losses. It's very predictable. The first thing that the airlines would try to do is reduce the size of their fleets. Now, this is in two regards. Size of the fleet, what we understand by this is that the air flights which they will be taking. So earlier there might be bigger aircrafts. The airlines might proceed ahead and take, you know, less capacity aircrafts. Thirdly, they might be selling off some of the aircrafts which they already have. Now, there are two reasons for that. Why? Is because the older aircrafts which the airline owns right now are less fuel efficient, less energy efficient. So the cost of operating those per flight is more if we compare it with the newer aircrafts that the airline has, and if we compare the operational cost of those, that's higher. So what the airline will do is try to hasten the retirement of older aircrafts. Okay, that's one thing. Secondly, the older the aircraft, the maintenance charges are more. Okay, so I have to invest a lot on those maintenance charges. I have to make sure that it is in the workable condition, in the safe condition for it to work. All right. And the third thing that the airline can do is actually order new fleets which are more energy efficient, but all this depends upon whether the airline can afford to order those new fleets or not. Right now, all of this obviously is going to affect the aircraft purchases. Okay, so major airline deliveries dropped from a typical 90 to 100 aircraft per month to an average of less than 40 in the first half of 2020. Obviously this was about to happen. If there are no takers for buying a new aircraft, obviously the sale of new aircrafts is going to drop down. As traffic may not return to pre-pandemic levels until 2024, older, less fuel efficient and higher maintenance aircraft retirement is accelerating. That's right, including Boeing 777, Airbus A330, Airbus A380. Now, they are replaced by the newer models, which, like I earlier told you, have more energy efficiency. Okay, so it brings down the expense of operations of per flight. Now, let's see what are the other changes which happen. Okay, now we all might be aware of something known as control towers. Correct, air control towers. Now these are the towers which are there in all the airports. There are people who are controlling these towers. These are air traffic controllers. The control towers are working 24 hours to monitor, to guide the pilots, and control the air traffic which goes over there. So clearly, since there was not enough air traffic, the operating hours of such control towers was brought down. So earlier, if it was 24 hours working, we had a lower shift. Okay, there was other technical thing also. So for example, pilots use something known as landing systems, which are there. These are the landing system which works on radio. Okay, radio systems. They guide the pilots in night time in bad weather, the landing to make the landing more safer. So there were issues over here because of which the airport or the airport authorities could guarantee the availability of such guidances for a limited period of time. This also affected the flights or the timings or the time of the flight schedules. So the second point says it, pilots were advised that certain air traffic control services and instrument landing system approaches may be periodically unavailable. Now let's see what were the government actions. Like I said, there were actions taken by everybody, airlines, airports, and clearly the government also took some actions. Now the Austrian government, that's an example over here, concluded a support deal for Austrian airlines, restrict short distance airline operations to ban cheap tickets below 40 euros. Now understand this, there are certain actions which government can take, which they can afford to take. Now obviously government globally, you know, all of the nation's government was clearly understanding the fact that there is massive losses taking place with respect to tourism. But tourism was not the only industry which was affected. Government has to look for each and every industry. So even if the government wanted to bail out, you know, aviation industry or tourism industry, they had lots of other takers as well. Lots of other industries also needed to be bailed out. So over here, there were certain other actions which the government did. So for example, policies like, let me quote an example over here. During COVID, airlines came up with fares which were non-refundable. All right. So what it means is if a customer is going to buy those tickets, the airline will not be giving any refunds. Okay. So this was approved by the government. So clearly, if there was any cancellation due to COVID-19, none of the refunds will be there. Then again, there was one more thing to ban cheap tickets. So this was something which was done. So for example, let me give you a scenario when the business in aviation is down, the competitor airlines will be fighting for the price. There will be a price war. So a particular ticket will proceed ahead and become as cheap as possible. What is this going to do is ultimately cause a loss for the entire aviation business. So there were certain actions which were taken by the government to ban this kind of policies, this kind of pricing. Since 29 March, all international flights to and from China are reduced with flight time. Now here we are quoting the example of China as a country to make you understand that the impact was massive for a country like China as well. So China was leading the tourism or travel or business, okay, pre-COVID. And the international flights to and from China as well reduced. The government of India is planning a rescue package for the aviation industry for as much as 120 billion. Now, please understand the packages or the bailout packages, which we call over here. Although the number is big, the need is much bigger. All right. So, for example, the Austrian government has been bailing out to Austrian airlines. The Austrian airlines might have asked for a more amount But Austrian government could give only as much as, you know, it did. So although the actions were taken, they are not completely effective. Now let's see, how does the spread of the virus and travel and tourism are connected? Now clearly with a virus, there were lots of studies taken, lots of experimentation done, and lots of research done. Okay, one such research was done which are the places which are more risky for an infection. We all might have heard that the cinema halls are one place which will be commented upon as highly risky environment. There can be public transportations. There can be public toilets which have high risk of such infections. Now, clearly, when we are talking about travel and tourism and the spread of virus, the use of aeroplanes. Are aeroplanes risky for such spread of virus? That was what the study was. Now, the use of aeroplanes by travelers has been implicated in the spread of coronavirus. The WHO noted that transmission of infection may occur between passengers who are seated in the same area of an aircraft, usually as a result of the infected individual coughing or sneezing or by touch. So when we're talking about an aircraft, although we say there has to be mask, there has to be, say, social distances, what I can do is I can make sure that there are one seat difference between two individuals. But what happens is that it's a closed environment. Okay, although it's ventilated and we have all the things intact over there to make sure that it is non-infectious, we take care that, you know, there are regular sanitation drives which happen, still the risk of it is higher. Imagine I am a traveler who is taking a 7 hours flight. How long am I going to have my mask up? Okay, how long am I not going to touch or sneeze or cough, and I need to use the toilet on board, right? So all of these factors make it very risky environment for the infection to happen. Now, according to the US Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, pathogens do not spread easily on flights, but prolonged proximity still presents a danger of infection. Now, cabin crew is advised to wear disposable medical gloves and possibly additional personal protective equipment. Now, I would like to mention here that there were many protocols also which came up. Okay, there were many SOPs which came up as to what will happen if a passenger is found to be sick on board the flight. So the cabin crews were trained for that kind of thing. So suppose if there is a sick passenger, a passenger who cannot put on mask or any other situations, the cabin crew was trained to handle those situations. Again, there were some other things which came up, like disposable biohazard bags for the cabin crews to actually use in flight. So I would also like to mention one more thing which happened, which we can consider is positive with respect to the entire scenario. So there were special kind of masks which came up, which were customer friendly. So for example, you might have seen some airlines which proceeded ahead to take a transparent mask. Okay, it was a coverage for an entire face, wherein the passengers were able to actually see the face of the cabin crew. This added up to their customer service experience. So this was one of the things which was positive. It was, you know, people coming up with new ideas, new products, and trying to make most of it. So this was one of the point which I can say was one of it here. Now, most airlines made vaccination compulsory before boarding an aircraft. Now, let me come back over here, and we are going to speak about this later also. We all know that there were vaccination drives against COVID-19. Now, ideally, it should have been an uniform regulations and protocols for all the countries. But we all know the chaos which was happening, which vaccine works, which doesn't work, how many doses are okay, whether my vaccination certification is an approved travel document or not. So there were lots of chaos happening. But the fact remains that most of the airlines demanded a compulsory vaccination. But there were different rules pertaining to different countries and pertaining to different airlines. Now, in between all that chaos, there came one very positive thing, which was Commons Pass logo. Now, what was this? Was as an answer to such kind of chaos with respect to vaccination certificates, then you know, different rules and regulations coming from each nation. What happened was on 25th of November, five major airlines, United Airlines, Lufthansa, Virgin Atlantic, Swiss International Airlines, and JetBlue. What they announced was introduction of Common Pass, okay, which shows the results of passengers' COVID-19 test. This helped a bit, okay, this helped a bit in making this a smoother transaction. So it was designed as far as international standards are concerned. It was passed and it was accepted as an international standard. So what it means is it got accepted as an international travel document legally. Okay, next what happened is that this particular Commons Pass logo is going to work in future also. Why? Because it controls, number one, any kind of fakeness or fraudulent certifications which might be used. So for example, the passengers have to, you know, upload their test results in this, and it is like a digital deposit of that data. And anybody, I won't say anybody, I would say the airlines which are a part of that, could view that COVID-19 test. So what happened is it decreased the documentation. It decreased the case of any kind of fraud that can happen with respect to the certifications. Thank you so much.